Hallelujah. Happy Sabbath, church. Happy Sabbath, church. Sorry, excuse me for my lateness. And also, I'm going to change the script a little bit. Can we stand to our feet all across the sanctuary and open your Bibles to Esther chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Esther chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Esther chapter 6, verse 1. The word of God says, "On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles." And they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on the king. And the king said, "What honor and dignity have been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who was in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to honor other than myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all of whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on the horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Father God, we bless your name in this house, and we thank you, God, for everything you've done. Now, God, continue to move, continue to use me, oh God, and be a mouthpiece for your kingdom, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Today, briefly, I just want to talk under the subject, Destined for More. Destined for More. There's been a change in script. I wanted to speak under the subject, Destined for More. This story starts off with a king who throws this lavish party. He invites everyone to this party just so he can show off all of his wealth. And he also has this queen named Vashti. So he wanted to invite Vashti to the party just to show off of how beautiful and how he had the game to get such a beautiful woman as Vashti. And as the story goes on, we see that Vashti denies. She says, I'm not going. And so at this moment, the king says, "Okay, that's fine. When I say jump, you're supposed to say how high. But since not, I'll just go find another queen." So when we read this scripture, I see that now there's an anticipation for God to use a miracle for this certain situation. He says he's going out to find a new queen. He's getting rid of this current queen to find a new queen. And at this time, I believe that sometimes God has to create a solution before the problem even exists. And so as the story goes on, he ends up finding this new queen who was Esther. Esther was an exile. Esther was a Jew. So God is saying here in this situation, beforehand, before the problem exists, he sees the solution. And the solution to the problem was he was going to elevate Esther to become the queen. Now, Esther wasn't the typical queen. She was an exile and she was a Jew. And so sometimes God has to place somebody in your position so that way you can see that sometimes he will move that same person that's in that position out of your position so that way you can accept the calling that he has on your life. And so here this morning, I wanted to talk under the subject, Destined for More. I believe that Esther in this situation was destined for more. And she showed certain signals to God that God was actually able to trust her, from turning her from a rejection to now royalty. And I believe the dopest situation here, the dopest thing about God in this situation, is the fact that he is capable of doing anything we can ask, think, or even imagine. And here in this story, he uses just the ones that he can trust to completely blow our minds. And I believe that there are certain principles that is showing us that God is destined, that we are destined for more. The first one is obedience. As I said earlier, Esther was an orphan, she was a Jew, and she was raised by Mordecai. Meaning that at the time, being an exile, a Jew, she wasn't looked as qualified or capable or even fit to be the queen. The Bible actually reveals that Esther won the hearts over of the king and people, but how did she do that? You see, Esther obeyed the teachings of Mordecai. Mordecai raised her and gave her a few instructions to make it. The Bible says in Esther chapter 2, verse 10, Esther had showed her people, nor her kindred. Esther had not showed her people, nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not shew it. The Bible also adds in Esther chapter 2, verses 20, Esther still wasn't telling anyone her family, background, and race, just as Mordecai had ordered her to. She continued to do exactly what Mordecai had said, just as she did when she was in his care. I believe that that shows a sign of obedience. Sometimes we get so caught up in the blessing that we forget where the blessing actually comes from. We've been praying, we've been waiting, we've been believing God to do whatever he does, but as soon as he does it, we forgot where it came from. My prayer is that we do not allow the fame, the blessing, the promotion, the healing, the power to take advantage of our obedience. Sometimes once people get the calling that they've been running from, once people get the answer that they've been waiting for, they forget and they mistreat the advice. And that's what Esther could have done in the situation. She could have mistreated or forgotten what was instructed her to do by Mordecai. But no matter what came her way, she stuck to her teachings. Amen. Listen, there are going to be some men, some friends, some women, some jobs, some offers, some friendships, and more that come into our life that will tempt you to override your beliefs and your teachings. But I believe God is saying that you are already destined for more. There is no need to compromise what has already been given to you. And as this story goes on, Mordecai is now left alone. You know, I can kind of relate to Mordecai in this situation. He's watching his loved ones get elevated. He's watching his loved ones get their answered prayers through, their blessings, their breakthroughs. And yet, nothing's really changing for him right about now. As a matter of fact, as we said earlier, Esther basically was given the elevation due to everything of what Mordecai had taught her. And so he's witness to an elevation for Esther, and I know he could have easily compared it to his own life. Well, when is it my turn, and when am I next, and when can I get the answer prayer that I've been waiting for? And I believe that Mordecai, God has used the character of Mordecai to display a second principle. We just finished talking about obedience, but I believe that Mordecai has demonstrated the perfection of patience. He witnesses the child he raised, Esther, gets elevated, basically because of what he taught her, while he sits back and live his life just as a normal Jew. And yet he doesn't complain, he doesn't worry, he doesn't rush God. As a matter of fact, he witnesses his enemy, the man out to kill him, gets elevated before he does. In fact, Haman was elevated and instructed that everyone who worked in the gate, including Mordecai, would have to bow down to him. But Mordecai refused. Mordecai refused to bow down. And in return, Haman not only threatened to kill him, but Haman came back to threaten to kill his entire people. His entire people. Haman had a strong dislike for who Mordecai was becoming, that a strong advocate and hero for his people, that he did not only want to kill the hero, but he wanted to kill everyone who supported this hero, all of the Jews. So furthermore, Haman sets up to kill the Jews and spread the word around town, sending letters and basically freaking the Jews out completely. Haman even gets elevated and given the power to do whatever he wants. In Esther chapter 3, verse 11, the king says, "Do as you want with them." The city was in shock because of what was getting ready to happen. Esther finds out about this threat that Haman puts on her people. And in reply, Esther says in chapter 4, verse 16, "Fast and pray." Which brings me again to our second principle. In order for us to be destined for more, we have to act in patience. To ignore what looks like or how it may feel, to ignore the threats of the enemy, no matter what it may feel like inside, I believe that God is saying in this season that we have to fast, we have to pray, and we have to believe in the word. And not only believe in the word, but to stand on his word. Esther demonstrated to her people, there's nothing else that we can do but pray. Has anybody ever just been faced with situations when there was nothing left to do but to pray? There was nobody you could turn to. There was nobody you could rely on. But there was all you could really do was lean on Jesus and to pray. She says, wait, it's time for us to fast and it's time to obey authority. We know where the power is and the power belongs in the hands of our Savior. And so instead of depending on men to do works, they depend on the Savior. They acted within patience. And so now skipping forward into the scripture that was just read to us earlier today, we see that Haman goes up to get permission to hang Mordecai. But I just wanted to back the story up quickly. The day before the king was asleep, remember, his people tried to kill the king. So he asked to see the chronicles just because the Bible says, the Bible doesn't really say exactly why he asked to see the chronicles, but he just asked to see the chronicles. And right there, I can just stop because that's an exciting fact for me today. Because, you know, sometimes we do certain things and, you know, we react a certain way and we give a certain way and we love a certain way and we commit a certain way, we respect a certain way. And all it does is feels like we're overwhelmed and that we feel like it's getting overlooked. But God reveals something to me. I believe that God is saying that he is getting ready to reveal certain truths on your behalf to others that may have overlooked you, that may have misbelieved in you, that may have looked at you funny, that may have discredited you. Can anybody just give God praise because of whatever was just done behind closed doors where nobody was looking at you, the husband didn't appreciate you, your boyfriend didn't appreciate you, the job didn't appreciate you. God says, do not worry. So many times we beat ourselves up and, you know, we push ourselves into a spirit of depression because we feel like we're not appreciated enough or we're not loved enough or we're not respected enough. But God says, I'm getting ready to let them lose sleep. So I've come to remind you today that that ex that you've been crying over, that job that you won't, that won't promote you, I've come to let you know today that they're getting ready to see that you are destined for more. They're getting ready to lose sleep because you are for sure destined for more. And so the chronicle said that on one day there were two doorkeepers, and they were set out to kill the king. But Mordecai saw it, and he stopped the plan of the enemy. Now the king says, Mordecai has just saved my life. What has been done for him? What honor has been done for him? And so the king asks, who's in the courts? Who's here to help me make this decision today? And guess who it was? It was Haman. So the king asks for the advice on what to do to honor this man. And so Haman thought in his mind, no one could be possibly greater than me. So the man who the king delights to honor, it has to be me. And this is what I love about God, is I believe that this story is so funny to me. Earlier in the chapter, I didn't reveal this part till now, but Esther in chapter 5, verses 3 to 9, it says this. So I wondered why Esther was invited to Haman to a feast. It says in Esther chapter 5 that Esther was invited to a feast with Haman and the king. So why is Haman being invited to a feast with just the king and the queen? He doesn't deserve this type of privilege. It was revealed to me that this was all a part of the plan. Haman would not have had his spirits up that the king wanted to delight a man if it wasn't himself. And so I believe that sometimes God has to place our enemies in certain positions to set us up for what he has in store for us. Haman would not have answered the way he answered if his spirits was not set up on the fact that he was already invited to a feast with the king and queen. And so God promotes his God promotes Mordecai's enemy so that his enemy could promote himself. He tells the king to get the man a robe, a Gucci robe, a Prada crown. He said, get him a Ferrari and take him. And you know what? Let's just throw this big parade and let's show everyone about the great deeds that's done for the man, whoever you decide to honor. So the king says, you're right. We're going to do all of that. We're going to do every single thing that you've just requested. But we're not going to do it for you. We're going to do all of that for Mordecai. So God has sent me to tell you today that God is using your enemies to bless you. I said God is using your enemies to bless you. Can I have somebody could give God praise today? Because you've been watching what your enemies get promoted. You've been watching so many other people get blessed. You've been watching answered prayers for everybody else around you. But I've come to let you know today that God is using your enemies to promote you. He's using your enemies to promote you because you're destined for more. See, sometimes God got to elevate your haters. And he has to elevate everybody that you surround yourself with because he doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to frustrate. And sometimes God is giving your enemies, he's using your enemies to put in the work to keep the spot warm so that way when it's ready for you, you don't have to fight for it. You don't have to plead for it. Mordecai didn't have to do any pleading for it. He didn't have to do any fights for it, but he stuck to his character. And as soon as he stuck to his character, God rewarded him. He blessed his enemy with what he's been praying for. He blessed his enemy with what he's already been praying for. See, sometimes, as I said earlier, God creates the solution before the problem even exists. And so many times we're so focused on the problem. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know how I'm going to get through this depression. I don't know how I'm going to jump over this cancer. But I've come to let you know today that the solution was already created before the problem. There's no mountain that is higher. There's no mountain that is bigger than our God. And finally, I wanted to share with you point number three. First, you have to demonstrate obedience. Two, you have to demonstrate patience. But number three, I believe that God is saying that once you get the reward that you've been waiting for, once you get the prayer you've been praying for, once you accept the calling, I believe that God says that you have to react in humility. You showed your obedience. You've showed that you can remain patient through whatever I've taken you through. Now, this is your season to be humble with what I've given you. After he's elevated Mordecai, after he's given all of the requests of what Mordecai was given to honor, Mordecai didn't just take the blessing and talk down on the people. He went back and he went to help his people. He humbled himself. And today I would quickly just wanted to remind you today that God has destined this church for more. God has destined you for more. God has destined your family for more. But in order for us to get to the more that God has promised for us, he wants us to remain obedient. That means we have to remain coming to church. That means we have to remain worshiping God. That means we have to remain praying to God. That means we have to remain in the word of our Savior. And also God is calling us to remain patient, meaning that when neighbors get blessed, that doesn't mean that God has forgotten about us, that when neighbors get their reward or when neighbors get their answer, so many times we feel as though that God has completely forgot about your name. But I believe that God has sent me today to be your simple reminder this morning that he has not forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about that cry. I don't care if it's been 5 years. I've come to let you know today that whatever the blessing that has for you, long as it has your name on it, you have more than enough to receive it. After we've remained obedient and patient, it's time for us to remain humble. Remain humble. And I believe that is all that God has for me to share with you this morning, for us to remain in the fact to be humble, obedient, and patient, because we are all destined for more. Amen. 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 Amen.